Welcome back, friend, to another episode of Fig and Farm at Home. Hey, you may have missed a wonderful workshop that happened this week. Back to Basics Bootcamp went down on Tuesday, March 26th and Wednesday, March 27th. It was 2 days, 2 hours of wonderful interaction with some of you. You know who you are, and I am so grateful to have had you join us in that time together, so we could learn, so we could put someone on the hot seat, so we could really understand how we can get started when we just don't know what to do. And if you missed that, well, lucky you. Today is your lucky day, because I am going to give you a little bit of a taste of what a workshop looks like. I'm taking you again behind the scenes so you can be a fly on the wall and listen in, and because there's no possible way you will want to sit down for an entire 2 hour conversation. I am cutting it short today. Whew, aren't you lucky? But if you would like to listen in on the rest of that, to really hear the secret, because I didn't get to it in 20 minutes, if you want to know who was put on the hot seat and why, and if you want to know how I used a common kitchen utensil to illustrate how it is we can think about this concept in a way that is relatable, understandable, and applicable. If you want that, I want you to email me at hello@figandfarmathome.com so that I can send you those replays. And then you can sit down for 2 hours and you can watch the replay. All right, friend, let's hop to it. Enjoy being a fly on the wall. We grew up with the phrase, home is where the heart is. But our culture has shifted, and now the message is, home should be Pinterest perfect. I'm calling BS on that message. Home, it's not about the stuff, it's about the story. And whether you know it or not, your home is a reflection of you and is already saying something. So what is it that you want it to say? Hey, I'm Danny, a former first grade teacher turned home decorator. Going from a dual income to a single income so I could stay home with my babies meant budget, like ramen eating, Goodwill shopping budget. And I learned a few things along the way, like how to bring big style to your home without breaking the bank. And I'm sharing it all with you. Tips, tricks, decor, and design advice so you can learn to tell your story with your style. Where you can start living free from the Pinterest perfect trap and start living a life of intention. Welcome to Fig and Farm at Home, where we design happy living and where it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. All right. Who's ready to learn, you guys, how to get started when you want to decorate your home and you have no clue where to start? So we are back to basics. This is the most important first step you guys can take in decorating your home. And I am so thrilled that you guys are here, because what it's telling me is that you guys want to learn. We can hire a designer. We all know that we can hire a designer, but hiring a designer costs buco bucks. And when you can learn it yourself and gain the tools you need, the resources you need, the confidence to do it, wow, it's empowering. All right. So here's what you can expect today. I know we are all busy. I know I have a meeting that's going to be in a little while. So I'm going to keep us to about 45 minutes to an hour today. Today is packed. They're both packed full, you guys. It is packed full because I want to make sure that you guys are able to walk away with tools, tactical strategies in order to take action today. I have been to so many webinars, so many workshops over the years where I have felt like I have just been sitting listening to a sales speech, and it drives me absolutely batty. So that is my promise to you, is I will not do that. Though, of course, I'm going to tell you about Home Design 101 at the end, and you'll hear me referencing it because I do believe it can be a really great solution for you if and when you're ready to dive in and learn a little bit more. You know, today and tomorrow in 2 hours time, I can't possibly teach you absolutely everything. So I'm going to give you as much as I can today and tomorrow so that you can get started really, really well. But just know that I will be referencing that. And at the end, we'll be talking about it. So, okay, we're going to talk about me for just a second, but I really want to dive into you. You're going to learn about who I am, how I'm qualified to teach what I'm teaching. And then we're going to get into the heart of it. What's keeping you guys stuck right now, currently in your home? And then what is that most important first step so that we can get out of that stuckness?
We're going to dive into a little bit about what's the difference. That doesn't mean anything to you now, but it keeps me on track and the tool, the most important tool in order to learn it all. Okay, so a few things about me. I am Danny. I go by Danielle, but you'll hear me go by Danielle when I am at the DMV or my dad is yelling at me, which doesn't happen anymore, because I'm older. But I go by Danny, and I was a first grade teacher. And loved teaching. You'll still find me teaching in a school setting, but I just do it non-traditionally. So I don't have a classroom anymore. I do have a gym and I coach basketball, finishing my season today, my girls' season today. And then next week, I'm hopping right to volleyball. It's so much fun. I absolutely get so much joy in life from being around those. They're teeny tiny to me, but they're 12, 13 years old. And every once in a while, I get the privilege of helping some of the naughty kids who have been expelled from school, need a little bit of help getting back acclimated into it. And so I help them as well. I have been married for 22 years to Greg, and we have three boys, 17, 15, and 12. And my question is, how on earth am I old enough to have kids that big? Oh, time just flies. I just don't even know. I started being an entrepreneur. My very first, if I look back into the history of where this all started, I was seven and I had the gall to go door to door on my roller skates, those little metal ones that strap on, asking people, "Hey, do you want to pay 25 cents to watch me roller skate in your driveway?" Of course, the goal for me then was to earn enough money to buy myself some candy because my parents were smart enough not to give it to me. And I earned some money. It was pretty remarkable. And I had no clue. This is really pivotal for you guys. I had no clue I had a talent for design until we moved from Iowa to Washington, where I'm at right now. And I started hosting play dates with new friends, and I was starting to decorate this new house that we were living in. And those friends started asking questions like, "How do you know to put these choices together? How do you know this? And can you help me?" I had no clue. And the reason I'm telling you that and why it's so important to you is because in the course of that time, it became very apparent to me that one, you can have a beautiful home on a budget, and two, you don't have to go to design school in order to do it. Design is teachable, and I'm hoping that, I'm marrying my gift of design and my gift of teaching, and I'm hoping that I can break it down easy enough for all of you so that you can transfer those things that took me years to learn into your own home. So that is my hope. That is my goal. Okay, so if you have a workbook in front of you, I have a question for you. I want you to go to the introduction page. And my first question is, what is the number one goal you have for your home? Why are you here? What do you want for your home? While you are writing, what it is you want for your home? What is your goal? If you feel brave enough to put it into the chat, go ahead and do that. I know for me, when I was, years ago, my goal was to not feel embarrassed when I invited people over. I wanted to have people over for book club and I wanted to feel proud about my space. I wanted it to look put together. At the time we had the futon, the hand-me-down futon, we had hand-me-down, you name it. And although hand-me-downs are no longer part of it, to having some of those eclectic pieces from scattered from here and there can make a look that doesn't necessarily go and flow together. And so my goal at the time was to create a home that felt good. Like I wanted to go into a room and just feel like I enjoyed looking at what I was seeing and not feel embarrassed when I had my friends there. So if you feel comfortable putting in the chat what it is that your goal for your home is, do that. This is meant to be a time for us to work together. There is absolutely no judgment. And I do want to say this is something I would tell my first graders, and it's something I will even tell my athletes. Your opinion matters. Your answer matters. There's no wrong answer. There's no wrong question. There's no stupid question. We are all in this posture of learning together. So feel free. Some of the things that we have as our goal are also the things that might be keeping us stuck. We know, and you can just give me a thumbs up if you want to, but sometimes our goal, in which mine was to have a space that looked put together. That was the word I was using for it at the time. The design term that I'm using for that is cohesive. And when you have a cohesive looking home, it can then feel cozy. But sometimes the goal is you just want it, you want it to look adult. You want it to look cohesive. You want it to, maybe you'll gush about your home. Wouldn't that be a goal to delight in what you see? You're happy about all of the choices you've made, but you just want it to look like there's intention here. The other goal that might also be keeping you stuck is that you just want to do it yourself. You don't have the money, you don't have the desire to hire someone who is really fancy pants. You know, when they're fancy pants and they're telling you that you're breaking all the rules in your home, that doesn't feel very good. And I'm not saying that all designers will do that, but sometimes you just want to do it yourself because it's more attainable, because you think it is attainable, it's possible, and you want to be able to manage 10 years from now. Your style is going to change. So learning it now, that will carry over in 10 years. And then the other goal that could also be keeping you stuck is you just don't know where to start. You want to know where to start. That is where you're hoping to get today, but that's also keeping you stuck because you don't know what to do. And so that's why I'm here, to help you know where to start. Okay, I'm going to check the chat here because some of you are brave. Yay! Okay. Denise says, I want to feel inside my home like I feel when I'm in my flower garden, relaxed and joyful. Okay, Denise, pay attention to those words. Write those words down on your paper, okay? Relaxed and joyful. Second goal is to stay on budget. Yes, love that. And Kathy says, I have an awkward family room that I cannot get right in my home. Other rooms feel like me, but this one is a huge challenge. Okay, yes. And that can feel so frustrating when. That is the ultimate goal, is to have your home feel like you. It really is the ultimate compliment when someone comes into your space and says, oh my gosh, your home looks just like you. That is the ultimate goal, and we want that for all of you. But sometimes when there's that challenge, and challenges can come from any number of things, they can come from furniture, paint colors, they can come from outliers. We call those bullies inside of Home Design 101. They can come from, oh, we're going to talk about this later, but they can come from decisions you've made that are too costly or too emotionally attached, that they are now commanding, they are now the gatekeeper for all other decisions. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So I want to know, what is keeping you stuck? We know what your goal is. We know that your goal is to feel relaxed and joyful in your space. We know your goal is to create that space from that, family room that's a little wonky. We don't want it to be not wonky anymore. Good. Susan says, warm and intentional, a reflection of our family. Maria says, my goal is to put the finishing touches that will elevate my home. Awesome. She already has a personalized home and cozy, just needs to do the window treatments. Great. And that can be your goal. So my question now is, what is keeping you stuck, or what has been keeping you stuck from doing those things? I would imagine, Denise, maybe one of yours is budget. You might think it's too much to do, but when we really break it down and we talk about the timeline and the time frame of decisions that could be made, when they're going to make the biggest impact, that can make a difference in understanding, first of all, that budget is actually, we want to honor that, but it's not as expensive as we might think. All right. The thing that was keeping me stuck, let me tell you. You hear on my podcast that we were on a ramen eating Goodwill shopping budget. And this is no joke. And I was telling Susan the other day, because we were on a call together. When I say that, I am not over exaggerating. We were living in Iowa. We had absolutely no money. Greg was in graduate school at the University of Iowa. I was literally calling the sub desk every morning. This is before it was automated, thank goodness. Because I was calling, her name was Denise. Denise, at 6:15 in the morning, if I didn't get a call to do sub work, Denise, what job do you have for me today? What job do you have for me today? I was the sole provider working on a sub salary for 1 year, and it was dramatic how much weight we lost because we couldn't afford food, really. Greg had to ride his bike in the Iowa winters to and from our home to the campus, which was about 3 miles. And once it started getting wintry, he did take the bus. We went home for Christmas. This is the part I told you, Susan. We went home for Christmas, scraped enough money together. Family and friends actually helped us get back home. And my mother-in-law took one look at me and she said, "You need to eat, Danny. Let me feed you," because we were in such dire straits. And so I do know that budget is a constraint. Now, you hopefully are not living in that situation, but that's when I started, was when budget was so tight and we just had to get not scrappy, creative. And so knowing which changes were needed to be made in order to get unstuck was the first step. Okay, let me check up here in the chat. Barbara says, made too many mistakes, afraid of wasting more time and money. Yes. And I know Susan can relate to that because we've had those conversations. That is a big one. And when you learn this one step, this first step, it is a practice that will need to be, it's not a you learn it today and we're going to be done forever. It is an ongoing process that I want you to come back to, but it is empowering and it will help you to have the confidence that you need in order to make those decisions that are not the you're then beholden to that big piece of furniture or whatever that is now commanding all the decisions to run through them. So let's just hop right to it, you guys. Okay, so some of the things that could be keeping you stuck. These are the things that I've heard so many times. I know the list is big. And I didn't put that one on there, Barbara, but it is true. You don't want to waste money. And that is one of the top ones I see. Another one I see is you have kids. Oh, that makes me so sad because your homes are canvases. They are places where your personality should shine. If you have kiddos, they are your story. And we want that to be reflected there. Sometimes the thing that's keeping you stuck is that you have a husband or a partner that you're sharing your space with, and you kind of go like this. The beautiful thing about that is that when you do design well, contrast is a beautiful thing. And when you learn the importance and the ratio of contrast, you can marry those styles that you have felt like have combated you the whole time. And then, of course, we think it costs too much, which is something that when you kind of learn which changes to make first and then which changes to make second, sometimes you might be surprised actually that the changes you should make to make the biggest impact don't actually cost a lot. So here is where I want you to go back to your workbook and I want you to think about a recent experience you had when you were shopping. And let me just pull this up so I can see in the chat. Oh, my husband keeps me stuck. He doesn't see the importance of having a home I love. Yes. Oh, and that can be true. And there are still things that we can make, changes we can make without necessarily taking command, right? We don't want to dictate all the changes that are made, but when you make little changes here and there, using what you have, even sometimes rearranging the furniture, things like that, you are creating that space for you. So, Denise, I understand you and I hear you, what you're saying. Okay, shopping. How many times in the last, you've gotten the decorating bug, you've wanted to refresh, you've felt like, okay, I'm ready for a spring refresh. And the experience of shopping for the thing you wanted was frustrating. Or maybe it was overwhelming. And you can write those down in your workbook. If it was any of those things, there are no right or wrong answers, of course, but how many of you felt like that shopping experience took too long, or you were confused because there were a million choices? There were, you go into, we'll say Target because it's accessible, affordable. Walmart could be even. You go IKEA, wherever you're going that is affordable, and you're thinking, I just want a pillow. And you're standing in front of the pillow aisle and you are looking and you're thinking, why on earth are there so many pillows? Why are there so many pillows? It makes your decision making a little bit more complicated when you are not entirely sure what it is you should be buying, right? It makes it frustrating, and you can then, of course, waste money, waste your time, and leave sometimes empty-handed, or leave with the item in hand and go back home and realize, oh shoot. Something happened between the store where I thought it was so cute and home where something happened in that transfer window here, and it is a different thing because wow, does it look weird in my space? That has happened so many times, and I don't want that to happen to you. All right. When you are redecorating, let's say you get that bug, you found the thing, and you're redecorating. How many of you have felt, again, it was overwhelming? Maybe you have felt like you really wanted to enjoy the experience because decorating should be fun, right? And I'm air quoting here. It should be fun, but it's not. It left you feeling like, ooh, I don't want to do that again. Maybe it made you think this. Why is it so easy? Oh, I mean, it looks easy for Jessica down the street. She makes it look so easy, and she's not a designer. Why is it so hard for me? I've heard before many people say, I feel like I don't have the decorating bug or the gene. Like somehow it missed me. How many of you have ever felt like that? It doesn't feel very good. All right, so we want to remove these things that keep it too confusing, that keep it too overwhelming, too frustrating, and too time consuming. And I've already mentioned this, that when we are at the store and we find the cute thing, the ultimate goal here when we dive in is that you are empowered to go to the store to look at that cute thing that you just a second ago took home and it didn't work in your home, but you're able to rewire that script, to reframe that that idea. When you're at the store, you can find the cute things, you can recognize the cute things because they're right there, but you will be able to say, that is so cute, and oh my gosh, that will look great in Jerry Ann's home. Or oh my gosh, that will look great in Susan's home. It's not going to look great in my home, but it would look so good. I'm going to tell Jerry Ann, I'm going to tell Susan. But you are able to, and you have the kind of the power and the tools to leave those cute things that won't work in your home on the shelf and grab the things that do. That's the goal here.
Friend, just like I mentioned, that I couldn't possibly teach everything I know about home decorating in a 2-hour workshop. The same thing happens in a 20-minute podcast episode. I can't possibly squeeze in 2 hours worth of content into that, but I can invite you to get your replay of the Back to Basics Boot Camp. If that's something you're interested in and you would like to listen to, I want you to email me at hello@figandfarmathome.com. Those workshop replays will be archived soon, but I would be happy to send it to you because it's powerful. It is empowering when you have the decision-making in your hands. We know that. We know that to be true in so many areas and aspects of our life, and it's not different in your home because the reality is you really could spend a lot of money and a lot of time hiring a designer. You could, and they would do a beautiful job. Or you could learn to do it yourself. And if this workshop is one step closer for you being able to do it yourself in a way that you feel confident about, I can't help but smile. That is so exciting for me to know that I am helping you getting one step closer to creating a home that makes you happy, that makes you delight, that makes you feel like you can have the confidence to finally say yes to inviting others in. So if you're curious how the rest of the conversation went, we dove right in to the number one thing that I recommend that every person who is wanting to learn how to decorate their home do first. It is so incredibly important to do this one thing first. And I told the girls who were in my workshop, if you did that one thing only, listen to the podcast, join the Facebook group, and had some conversations, if you did those things only, you would have a very firm foundation. But of course, there are other action steps you can take. Because remember, I can't possibly have given all of my secrets away in 2 hours. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, that would be so great. When you're ready, if you're ready, your home design can be unlocked inside of Home Design 101, where I teach you quite literally where to start, how to choose a color palette, how to make your home look and feel cohesive and cozy, how to recognize and create mood boards so you can see the big picture before you spend a dime, how to know if you should spend money first or if you should make a different decision first in your home, a decision that might make a bigger impact before you spend any money at all. I teach you where to shop high and where to shop low. I give you all of my secrets for where designers shop, where this designer shops, this designer who has a Pottery Barn style but quite frankly, an IKEA budget. I give you all of my online shopping secrets, my in-person secondhand shopping secrets. I teach you how to style just like I was there with you. How to style flat surfaces, bookshelves, mantles, tablescapes, all the things. It is inside of Home Design 101. If you're ready to dive right in, you can go to figandfarmathome.com/home-design-101. The links will be in the show notes. Until next time, I'll see you soon. Welcome back, friend, to another episode of Fig and Farm at Home. Hey, you may have missed a wonderful workshop that happened this week. Back to Basics Bootcamp went down on Tuesday, March 26th and Wednesday, March 27th. It was 2 days, 2 hours of wonderful interaction with some of you. You know who you are, and I am so grateful to have had you join us in that time together, so we could learn, so we could put someone on the hot seat, so we could really understand how we can get started when we just don't know what to do. And if you missed that, well, lucky you. Today is your lucky day, because I am going to give you a little bit of a taste of what a workshop looks like. I'm taking you again behind the scenes so you can be a fly on the wall and listen in, and because there's no possible way you will want to sit down for an entire 2-hour conversation. I am cutting it short today. Whew, aren't you lucky? But if you would like to listen in on the rest of that, to really hear the secret, because I didn't get to it in 20 minutes, if you want to know who was put on the hot seat and why, and if you want to know how I used a common kitchen utensil to illustrate how it is we can think about this concept in a way that is relatable, understandable, and applicable. If you want that, I want you to email me at hello@figandfarmathome.com so that I can send you those replays. And then you can sit down for 2 hours and you can watch the replay. All right, friend, let's hop to it. Enjoy being a fly on the wall.